Today's shiur is Masech Bava Metzia Daf Pei Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis, seven lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us Halveu Al Hamashkin. If somebody borrowed, somebody lent somebody, and he received a mashkin, so the person who is washing the mashkin, says the Mishnah, is considered. Says the Mishnah is considered a shay masachem. Says the Gemara Lema Masnisin. It seems that our Mishnah is the like Rebbe Lezer, doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Hamalva as Chaveroi al Mashkin. Again, if the Loiva gave the Malva a Mashkin, Vavar a Mashkin, and now the Mashkin got lost, Yeshava, the Malva should swear that it got lost, that he was not a Pesheya, he was not negligent, V'yitel Ma'isav, and the Loiva has to pay up to the Malva what he owns him, what he owes him. And even though he's not giving back the Mashkin, Divir Belezer. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, and Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, Yachal Laimalai, the Loiva can say to the Malva, Klum Helvisani ala Mashkin, I only borrowed money because you were going to take a Mashkin. Of a mashkin, if the mashkin now is lost, is of the mayasecha, you have no claim to get back the money I owe you. And the way to understand the machlokes is that Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva is what is the purpose of a mashkin. Rabbi Lezer says that the mashkin is not there to be a way of paying up the debt. The mashkin is a guarantee for the Malva that the Loiva cannot deny that he owes money. And therefore, that's the entire purpose of the Mashkin. And therefore, he becomes a Shei Mechinam. And since he becomes a Shei Mechinam on that Mashkin, so as we've learned, the Shei Mechinam is only Chayiv for Pshia. If there was no negligence, he will not be held responsible for the mashkin. And the fact that the loiva still owes him the money is obvious, that the loiva still has to pay the money that he owes. Whereas Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that the purpose of giving a mashkin is that the mashkin is there as if the loiva will not pay what he owes. So that's the purpose of having a mashkin. So since that's the purpose of having a mashkin, it's to the benefit of the malva to have the mashkin, and therefore he's a shei masacher. And if it gets lost or stolen, he will be held responsible. Continues the brisa. Ava of zuz b'shtar. If there was a loan where the malva lent the loiva $1,000, and there was a document written to that effect, v'niach lo mashkin aleihem, and besides that, there's this document. The loiva also left the mashkin with the malva. There, divrei hakol over a mashkin over ma'asev. Everybody agrees that the loiva will be not held responsible. For we just explained the machloikas of Rebbe and Rekiva, particularly in trying to understand the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, is because Rebbe Lezer is teaching us that the mashkin is there to serve as a proof that there was a loan, that a loan took place. Here, we don't need the mashkin to prove that there was a loan. We have the document that proves that there was a loan. So what is the purpose of the mashkin? Everybody must agree that the mashkin is there for payment. And therefore, the malva becomes a shei masachar on the mashkin. If the malva becomes a shei masachar on the mashkin, if it gets lost, he will be held responsible. Says the Gemara. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to be following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, because our Mishnah said that Hamalva Mashkin is a Shai Masachar, and we just learned that that follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, not Rabbi Lezer. Says the Gemara, Filatim Rabbi Lezer. We could explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, Vloy Kasha, and there's no problem. Can our Braisa that says that Rabbi Lezer holds that the malva who's holding the mashkin is a shei mechinam, is referring to a situation that the loiva gave the mashkin at the time of the loan. So there, Reb Eleza makes the point that why was the mashkin given at the time of the loan to serve as proof that there was a loan? And since that was when it was given, and that's the proof, so that's why it doesn't serve as a payment, and that's why it's not a shem sachar. But in a case, says Reb Eleza, like he'll, and that's how he will explain our Mishnah, that the mashkin was given not at the time of the loan. If the mashkin was not given at the time of the loan, it's clearly not there to prove that there was a loan. Because were it to be there as a proof that there's a loan, we don't need it to be, why wasn't it given at the time of the loan? It must be because it was given for payment. And therefore, Rabbi Eleza will agree in such a sage to Rabbi Kiva that the malveh is a shay mesachah. Ask the Gemari, idi v'idi al halveyu al mashkin ketan. The wording of the Mishnah, asked the Gemara, and the wording of the Brisa is identical. So if the wording is identical, it must mean that they're both speaking about the same situation. So how can we differentiate that the Mishnah and is talking that the mashkin was shloi b'shas halvah, and here the Brisa is talking about that the mashkin was b'shas halvah? And the Ritva points out that the Gemara could have asked a simpler question. The Gemara said, just could have asked, let's look at the words of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah, Haveu ala Mashkin, clearly indicate that the Mashkin was given at the time of the loan, and not at any other time, and not to say that it was given later. Eloi Kasha. So we're back to understand how could Rebbe Lezer's opinion be consistent with what we learned in the Mishnah. Eloi Kasha. Kan Shalveu Mos. The Brice is speaking about a case where he lent money. So in that case, the Malva has nothing to gain from this loan. He's just being a nice person lending cash. Kan Kishalveu Peis. In a case where a Malva lends Peris, it's to his benefit. Because when he lends Peris, if he would be holding on to those Peris, he has to make sure that he sells them before they get spoiled. By you taking it from me, by the loiva taking it from him, he's accomplishing that he doesn't have this pressure to sell the payers. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that our Mishnah speaking, and that's why he's a Shema Socher. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that our Mishnah speaking about a case with a Malva lent payers, not money? Let's continue learning the Mishnah. For Midik Tani Sefer, the Mishnah continued saying, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Halveyu Moy Shema Chinam, Halveyu Peiris Shema Socher. Rabbi Yehuda differentiated whether the loan was Mos or Peiris. Isn't that clearly indication that Mechlal the Tanakam Aloy Shanalei? There's no halachic difference. Says the Gemara, that isn't the question. Because, explains the Gemara, there is really no Machloikis in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, the way to understand the Mishnah is Kula Rabbi Yehudahi. It completely reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chsuri Mechsra Vachitani. And the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Havayal Amashkin, if it was sold in Amashkin, then the Malva becomes a Shema Socher. To which the Mishnah said, B'medvam Amurim, when does the Malva become a Shema Socher? When Havayu Peiris, when he lent Peiris? Because since he lent Peiris, so he's also benefiting from the loan. Ava ve'emayos. So the Malva is not benefiting from the loan. And he's a Shem Mechinam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And this is based on what Rabbi Yehuda just taught us. That on ve'u mos, when the loan was mos, the Malva is a Shem Mechinam. Helveu peiris, he's a Shem Mechinam. Says the Gemara, Ihacha, if this is the way we're going to explain the our Mishnah, Kamalim Asnissen, it turns out that our Mishnah, yes, we were successful in being able to explain the Mishnah like Rebbe Lezer, but it turns out that's not like Rebbe Kiva, because Rebbe Kiva says that in all situations, the Malva is considered a Shema Socher. He doesn't subscribe to any distinction between lending money or Peiris. And as the Gemara means to ask, we have a rule throughout Shas that Stam that Stam Mishnah is Rameir, but it's because Rameir was the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. So how can we have a Mishnah that isn't following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? Ella, we have no other option but to say, Machvart Masnisin, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva and the Loik Rabbi Lezer, and not the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara drills down in this Machlaikis that we've been learning between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva. Lema, but the Loi Shava Mashkin Shir Zuzi. So ask the Gemara, let's say Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva are arguing in a situation where the value of the Mashkin is not equal to the value of the loan. And suggest the Gemara that their Machlaikis is but the Shmuel Kamifki, they're arguing over something that Shmuel taught us. Dama Shmuel, Haiman da Osfei Alfa Zuzi L'Chavri. Somebody lent another person $1,000. The Anachle Kata de Magla Layu. And he left a hammer, a saw, as a mashkin. Ovid kata de magla, and now that inexpensive tool got lost. So how much is deducted? So Shmuel says, Ovid alfa zuzi, if he lost that inexpensive tool, it covers the entire loan, even though the mashkin is worth a fraction of what the loan is, because the malva understands when he takes the mashkin, what he's taking upon himself, he's accepting himself. This is the way Rashi understands the opinion of Shmuel. He's accepting upon himself by taking this mashkin that if he loses the mashkin, the loan is canceled. And Rashi goes on to say that according to Shmuel, it doesn't even have to be said. Every time a malva receives a mashkin, it's understood that that's what is meant. That if you, the Malva, lose the Mashkin, the loan will be canceled. Taisus has a difficulty accepting this pshat, that we're going to assume that every Malva, when he takes a Mashkin, as inexpensive as it is compared to the loan, is accepting that the loss of the Mashkin cancels the loan. And he says that the case here is, well, the Malva accepted explicitly, when the Malva accepted explicitly this understanding that if he loses the Mashkin, he's going to forfeit the loan. What's the problem with this pshat? The problem with this pshat is, if the Malva said it explicitly, how can anybody disagree? So says the Gemara, and we're suggesting, as Taisus, that this machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Bekiva is over the din of Shmuel. But if Shmuel, as Taisus is suggesting, the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that he explicitly accepted that if he loses the mashkin, he's going to lose the loan, what's the machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Bekiva? So they argue, the Rishonim explain, that they're arguing, is this considered a smachta, we've discussed many times in our shir, the concept of a smachta. Rabbi Lezer is going to hold, according to Tosfos' opinion, that it's an asmachta. He never really assumed. He was just confident that he's never going to lose the mashkin. And that's what he said. And Rabbi Kiva holds that this doesn't have the requirements of a smachta, and therefore the stipulation he accepted, he has to live with. Says the Gemara, no. Ibid alay shava mashkin shiazuzi. The Gemara makes a very simple argument. That if the mashkin is not equivalent to the value of the loan, suggests the Gemara, the kulam alesle shmuel. Nobody could agree with Shmuel. And the posh pshat is because there's no malva who's going to take upon himself that I'm going to get a mashkin that's worth almost nothing and I have a big loan outstanding and that should be good enough. But rather, suggests the Gemara, the machlokes here is if the mashkin is equivalent in value to the loan. And what is their machlokes? So the Gemara, they argue over something Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. Rabbi Yitzchak discusses what is the halachic relationship to a malva to the mashkin he receives. The Torah says, regarding a malva who has a mashkin. And the Torah Kedoshah says, Vim ish anihu lai sishke ba avoytoi, hoshev tosheleis avoy kibah ha-shemes, v'socha b'simlocha, b'simlasa uberechecha l'cha tiyatzdak l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. Tarek Daisha teaches us that if somebody receives a mashkin from a person, and what he received from a mashkin from the person is something from the loiva, is something that the loiva must have. If it's a tool that the loiva uses to work with, and he doesn't have another tool, and if he wouldn't have that tool, he wouldn't be able to work. Or if it's a linen that he sleeps on, and if he won't give him back the linen, he won't have what to sleep on. So Tarak Daisha says that the person has to return the mashkin every evening. And the Torah says the person, the malva, who does so, ulecha tiyet staka. From here we learn, so says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yitzchak, im ein a kind of mashkin, if the malva does not become the owner of the mashkin, tznaka menale. You could only give tztaka from something that's yours. If it's not yours, how could you give tztaka? Says Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikal Abal Chayv Shekoyin HaMashkin. So if he become, and so says the Gemara, that is the Machlokes of Rabbi Elazar b'Akiva. Rabbi Elazar is going to hold that the Mashkin becomes the Malvis. And if he loses it, he doesn't, it has nothing to do with the Loiva. B'Akiva holds that it has nothing to do with the Chayv. Because, on the opposite, Rabbi Elazar holds that he doesn't own the Mashkin. And the mashkin has nothing to do with the loan. And he's a shay mechinim on the mashkin. Rabbi Akiva says that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin. And if he loses it, he has a counter debt to the loiva for the mashkin that he never paid. So the question is, Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us, and now we're learning that Rabbi Akiva, according to the Gemara at this point, agrees with Rabbi Elazar, that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin. And the question is, to what extent is that? Rashi says, to the extent that he's chayiv and oinsim. Tosfos says that he's the owner, and it's here as an exchange for the choy, for the debt, and he owns it to the degree that if anything happens, he shall be held responsible. Tosfos says that even though Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that he is the owner of the mashkin, it's not the same type of ownership as we normally find in halacha. It's only to the degree that he's a shay mesacher. And Tosfos asks, what does that mean? So Tosfos says that he could use it to be mekadesh an isha. And therefore, since he could use the mashkin to be mekadesh an isha, that's why he's considered a shay mesacher. The Rishonim say that there are other benefits that one accrues from having a mashkin. The halacha is that we've discussed many times that Shemitah cancels all loans. But if there's a mashkin, it doesn't cancel the loan. And therefore, that's what the malva benefits. And since the malva benefits, that's why it's a shay mesacher. The Shach, however, says that the wording of the Gemara is much more like what Rashi says, because the Gemara keeps on saying Shabal Choyv Kaina Mashkin. Kaina Mashkin doesn't mean that he's a Shay Mesacher. Shay Mesacher means that he's not an owner, and therefore Rashi seems to be right. But I saw that the Ritva explains that part of what the Gemara is teaching us, part of what Rabbi Yitzchak actually is teaching us, is the a new halacha, that there's some sort of a limited ownership. And the ownership of a malva in the mashkin cannot be considered your regular type of ownership. And since it cannot be considered your regular type of ownership, he only to the degree that he's a shay mesacher. Ask the Gemara, v'tisbara, is that the way, ask the Gemara, is that how you could suggest we're going to explain the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Akiva. Eimadam and Rabbi Yitzchak, when did Rabbi Yitzchak say his halacha, that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin? B'mashkin ha'shleib b'shas halvosa, that when the mashkin was given, that not at the time of the loan. Because the pasuk that we quoted, that's where the pirate says, l'cha tiyat staka, and that's a mashkin that was not given at the time of the loan. Aval Mishkan b'shas alava, but it was given at the time of the law. Mi Amr, who the Rabbi Yitzchak ever teach us that he becomes the owner? He never taught us that he becomes the owner, and that's the case of our Mishnah, as we said a few moments ago, that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the Mashkin was given at the time of the loan. Therefore, suggests the Gemara. If the Mashkin was not given at the time of the loan, says the Gemara, everybody will agree that Kula Amos the Rabbi Yitzchak, everybody will agree with Rabbi Yitzchak, that the Malva becomes the owner of the Mashkin. And since the Malva becomes the owner of the Mashkin, he now is responsible to the loiva if something were to happen to that mashkin. The machloik is here, b'meshkin ha'shalai b'sha'as alvaso. That's not what Rabbi Yitzchak spoke about. And the machloikis is a new machloikis, a different machloikis. B'shomer aveda k'mufki. The machloikis is, how does the halacha look at a shomer aveda? The itmar, as was taught, shomer aveda. If somebody finds something, as we learned earlier in our masechta, and the Torah Gdusha says, "V'mloy kar v'chich alecha v'lo yedata v'safta al toib echsecha." The Torah Gdusha says, "You should take what you found home v'hoye imcha and leave it with you," as we learned very extensively in Perek Eilim Metzias. Ad d'roish achicha oisa. Rava Amar, the obligation for somebody to watch the aveda he found, makes him into a shemichinim. A shemichinim is pata in a geneva v'oida. Rabbi Yosef Omer, he's considered a Shem Sachar. Why? So the opinion that says that he's a Shem Chinam is understandable. He's just doing a mitzvah. But Rabbi Yosef, why is he considered a Shem Sachar? So as we explained when we learned the sugya, because he's doing a mitzvah, and Oisik be mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. And that's what makes him into a Shem Sachar. What makes him into a Shem Sachar is the fact that he has a mitzvah. And since that he has the mitzvah, then that's why he's getting that mitzvah. So what does that mean? The Pasha Pshat is that while he's taking care of the mashkin, were a poor person to come to ask him for tzedakah, he would be exempt. Oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. And therefore, the halacha is that he's benefiting, that he wouldn't have to give that tzedakah, and that's why he's considered a shayma sachar. The Rishonim ask that we only say Oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah, and mitzvah sasei. But mitzvah tzedakah comes with two lois sasays. The Torah says, Leisa'amitz es levavcha, Leisik v'es yotcha, mechicha b'vyonim. The halacha of Oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah means that when I'm doing one mitzvah sasei, I don't have to do another mitzvah sasei. The Torah only requires me to do one mitzvah at a time. But that doesn't mean that oisik b'mitzvah is allowed to violate a lav. And we just learned that there are two lavim involved, when you don't give tzedakah. So how can we call it an oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah? So the Or Sameach says that usually when we look at a lav, a lav is a lav. Here, the lav of Amitz Lavavcha Leisik Yotcha are not independent lavim. They're only here to strengthen the mitzvah saseh. They're here to show us how important and how critical is the mitzvah tzedakah. Attached to it is the lav of Leis Amitz Lavavcha Leisik Yotcha. So it's not considered, therefore, an independent lav. And since it's therefore not considered independent lav, we won't be able to say, well, there's no rule of Isaac B'mitzvah by lavin. So we said that this person who's watching the Aveda, according to Rabbi Yosef, the famous Pruta de Rabbi Yosef, is Isaac B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah. Tosfos explains that when would we say here Isaac B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah? Only when he's actually doing something with the Aveda. So if he's doing something with the Aveda, so Oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, he doesn't have to do something else. But let's say most of the time, obviously the person is not doing something actively with the Aveda. When he's not doing something actively with the Aveda, we can't apply the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says the fact that he has this aveid in his house makes him into oisik b'mitzvah, even at the moment when he's not doing anything with the aveidah. And therefore, the Ravid's pshat is obviously much more understandable. And then there's a third approach. The oisik b'mitzvah, why is he considered oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah? What's the shayma sachar Rabbi Yosef makes him into? Rabbi Yosef makes him into a shayma sachar because he's getting schar for the mitzvah of being a shayma aveda. And now the Gemara is suggesting that this concept, this machloikus, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, is actually that's the machloikus of Elazar and Rekiva. Rekiva is going to hold that he's like Rabbi Yosef, that he's a shayma sachar because oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah, and Rabbi Elazar holds like Rava, that he doesn't become a shayma sachar. And the simplest way of understanding, when we said this, when we learned the sugya earlier, of understanding the machlokes of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, is that Rabbi's opinion is, how much time do you really need to spend with an aveda? Very minimum. And since it's very, and this works with Tosfos, and therefore, you're not considered an oisik b'mitzvah for the few moments that you may need to be busy with the aveda. The Rabbi Yosef says, no. Even if it's not going to take all the time, Rabbi Yosef certainly according to Ravid is understandable. But even according to Tosfos, since there are going to be times where you're going to be busy with the Aveda, and at those times that you're busy with the Aveda, you're not going to have to give tzedakah, it's enough to call your Oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. So says the Gemara. So now it turns out, this proof to Rabbi Yosef that we've been discussing in our Masechta actually turns out to be, according to the way we're learning now, a machlokes tanoim. Says the Gemara, Leim de Rabbi Yosef Tanaihi. Says the Gemara, no. B'shem Aveda, when we're going to be speaking about a Shemer Aveda, which was the case that Rabbi Yosef speaks to, the Kul Alma Islad Rabbi Yosef, everybody's going to agree with Rabbi Yosef that he's a Shemer Sachar. Here, where we have the Machlaikis between Rabbi Leza and Rabbi Kiva, is what Malva Tzorach L'mashka Kavifki. In a case where the Malva received a mashkin, and as we learned earlier in Perek Ezo Neshech, there are different types of mashkins. And sometimes the malva takes the mashkin and uses the mashkin, and it's used to deduct from the loan. Marsov a mitzvah covered. Even in a case where the malva is benefiting from this mashkin, there's still the mitzvah that he did of lending money, helveyu, outweighs any benefit that he may have from the mashkin, and therefore he's considered an oisik b'mitzvah that he lent money. He's no different than the shomer aveda, and that's why he's a shomer sachar. And Mar Sover, Rabbi Lez's opinion is, if he's doing a mitzvah for his benefit, as this case, because he lent the money so he could get his hands on the mashkin and use it, even though he's going to deduct by using the mashkin from the loan, because if he won't, we're going to have a serious problem of ribbis, la mitzvah kovid, because what he meant was la nosa kamas kavin, he meant for his own purpose, and therefore, says Rabbi Lezer, he's going to be considered a shemer chinam in this case, even though by shemer aveda, there's no machlokes, everybody would agree with Rabbi Yossi that there's a shemer sachar. There's a very, the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Haim, Simen Lamed Ches Sif Aleph Paskins, that koisvei tefillin and mezuzos, people who are soiferim, they write tefillin and mezuzos, heim v'tagreim, they and all the merchants who are involved in a mitzvah, in this mitzvah, are part of, we apply the concept, oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham asks, what's going to be the halacha if the soifer is doing a mitzvah, writing sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, but it's also what he's doing for a living? What will be the halacha then? Will he be considered an oisik b'mitzvah or not? So Magen Avraham says we have to look at what is his main intention. If his main intention is for profit, then we won't call him an oisik b'mitzvah. If his main intention is for the mitzvah, then he's going to be oisik b'mitzvah. As to be halacha, we just learned the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva said that even if somebody's intention, as we just described, was to get, the Malva's intention was to get his hands on the mashkin so he could use the mashkin, Rabbi Kiva, and that's the halacha, considers him an oisik b'mitzvah. So we see that even in a case where the person's main intention was not l'shem mitzvah, he's still considered an oisik b'mitzvah. And that's why he doesn't seem to agree with the opinion of the Magen Avraham. And he says that in any case where there's a mitzvah intention involved, in any case where there's a mitzvah intention involved, that's enough to make him into an oisik b'mitzvah. The Rebbe Chanan and the Kaivis Haaretz starts discussing that there are different levels. He wants to suggest that in our Gemara, a person who lends money, his main point is that he wants to do the mitzvah of lending money, even though he is going to have benefit from the mashkin. You can't compare a person who's selling sefer Torah, who's a sefer, and he's doing that for a living, to compare the two situations. We learned further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said a person could rent to someone else the mashkin that he received from a poor person, that he used that as a method to deduct from the loan. Says the Gemara of Chana bar Ami Ami Shmuel, Halach Ka B'Shmuel. But says the Gemara, that's the halacha. But says the Gemara, Af Abishua Loi Amar. When did Abishua say this halacha? El B'Mara, with a shovel, the sefel, a pail, the kardam is an axe, Hoyel V'Nafish Agrayu, they you could rent them for a serious amount of money. V'Zuta B'Chsayu, the strong tools, they're not going to get ruined. So in such a case, it's worth it to rent out the mashkin and use it as a method to help this ani pay off his loan. But in other types of tools where the rental is not that significant and the chance of them getting ruined is significant, Abishol would not say this halacha. Our Gemara just taught us menayin lebal chayv shekayna mashkin. So the Sefer Oruch Yesharim taught us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to us, we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much for what he does for us. And he also has a mashkin. What is the mashkin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has? That we give him every night when we go to sleep, our neshama, that we give to him every night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the owner. The Gemara just saw, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Bal Chayv Kayna Mashkin. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back the mashkin every morning, whole and healthy. So says the Oruch Yesharim, a person recognizing that we all have this mashkin relationship in our lives all the time. If a person will realize that we're all giving mashkin and expecting that we should get back the mashkin in good shape, that should encourage us to lend money to other people and understand that we're just imitating, we're just doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us all the time. Says the Mishnah, Hamaver chavis b'makom makom. If somebody is carrying a pitcher from one place to another place, v'shavroi, and it breaks, ben shem echinim, ben shem sachar, whether this person is a shem echinim or shem sachar, yishava, he should swear that he was not negligent. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yishava, zeh v'zeh, both a shem echinim and a shem sachar have to swear in order to be potter. However, he comments, to me, Ani, I find it difficult if they really have a way of being able to do so. Begins the Gemara, if somebody is transporting some pitcher for his friend, and he breaks it, whether he's a shemichinim or shemisachar, yishava divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yehuda, shemichinim yishava, noisasachar yishalim. And Rabbi Lezer Omer, zeh v'zeh yishava, both the shemichinim and shemisachar, as Rabbi Lezer taught us in the Mishnah, should swear. However, to me, ani, im yichayim zeh v'zeh l'shava, I'm not sure how they could possibly make such a shvua. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? That Rabbi Rameya, who says that you have to swear, is of the opinion that somebody who trips, a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, somebody trips with transporting something is not considered a pesheya. Ask the Gemara, lememra, the Savra Meya Niska La Pesheyahu, for Tanya, haven't we learned a brisa that we learned very extensively in the Masechta Bava Kama? If somebody was transporting something in Rishus Rabbim and he's tripped, the Nizbir Kadoi and the pitcher that he carried broke, and he didn't have a chance to pick it up, or he's walking with his camel, his camel fell down, he didn't have a chance to break it, to pick it up, and now somebody tripped, slipped on those broken pieces. And when we learned the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama, the Gemara explained that the machloikus of Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda, Rameya and the Chachamim, is niskel pesheya pligi. Rameya holds that this person who tripped is a pesheya, and therefore all these pieces, or this camel that fell on the floor, are like a bar that he created, and he's responsible. The Chacham hold that somebody who trips is not considered a pesheya, and since he's not considered a pesheya, he's not going to be considered that he made a bar. And as we learned there in the Gemara, even if he, according to the Chachamim, even if he had the opportunity, he had the time to pick it up before somebody tripped, he wouldn't be chayv b'din Adam, he'd only be chayv b'din Shemayim. So we have a stira. Here Rameya, in our Mishnah it says that Rameya could hold that somebody who trips could be considered an oinus. And there it says that Rameya holds niskel pashehu. Amar Belazar, Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lashanazu. There are two versions, as the Chita explains. There is a Machloikis Tanoim, how to understand the opinion of Rameya. Continues the Gemara. So now we have established that Rameya in our Mishnah, at least, holds a Niskalai Psheya. Vaska Rabbi Yehuda Lameima. Then the Mishnah continues to teach us the opinion of Yehuda. The Shem Mechinim Yeshava, Shem Noisusach Yeshalim, the Aikadine, the Niska La Pesheya is considered an oinus. So Shem Mechinim, who's potter on Geneva Vaveda, he's only Chai by Pshia, should swear that there was no Pshia, and he's potter. A Shem Mechinim, who's Chayiv on Geneva Vaveda, so the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, that even if you hold niskel is not a pesheya, you can't call a niskel an oinus. And Tosfos explains that what does the Torah, what does the halacha teach us that a shoyim asachar is chayv for geneva aveda? So Tosfos explains that the way to understand that halacha is not to tell us that there are different types of situations and you chayv by pshia, you chayv by geneva aveda, and you're not chayiv by other situations. That's not the way to understand the Gemara. But rather, the way to understand, says Tosfos, is that what the Torah is teaching us when we speak about a Shem HaSachar, that as long if it's not an oinus, you're going to be chayiv. And what the Gemara is teaching us now is that anybody who is carrying anybody who trips cannot be considered an oinus. He may not necessarily be considered a pesheya, but he cannot be considered an oinus. And since he cannot be considered an oinus, that's why he's going to be chayiv if he's a shem sachar. Continues the Gemara. Vishama vasa rabbelaz lameimer in Gemara Krameya. I do learn like Rameya that he should be considered that a niskel is la pesheya. However, and it would be enough that he should just swear that he wasn't pesheya, but I'm not sure how you could do that. And the Gemara explains itself. He has to swear that there was no pesheya, because that's all that he needs to do. As we just finished learning, as long as you can't swear that there wasn't an oinus, you're chayiv. And how could he swear clearly that there was anything, that there was only an oinus here? continues the Gemara b'makom madrim. If it was in a slippery, slanty place, there we could say that it was an oinus. Shalai b'makom adrim, but if he was walking, how could he be confident to be able to make a shvua? Mi matz m'shtabed the loy pasha. V'afil b'makom namri. Ha'teinach heikha delek raya, where there are no edim that saw what happened. Av heikha dek raya. If there were edim that saw what happened, leisi raya, and then he should have to bring edim v'lifter. The Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, Isi ben Yehuda's opinion is, the Torah says, regarding Yishai Masachar, Kitin ishal raya chamara shah v'meisa nishba ein raya, there are no edim. That's when the Torah prescribes ha ein raya shvus Hashem teyeh b'shneim, ha yesh raya, if there are edim, yavi raya v'yifter. And that everybody agrees. And that's why Rabbi Elazar says that how could the Shem Rechinim or Shem Asachar be so confident and just be able to swear to be potter?